Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings. My name is Robert J. Marks. I'm the guest host today on ID the Future, where we will be discussing Dr. Winston Ewart's fascinating new theory that replaces Darwin's Tree of Life. I am the regular host on another Discovery Center podcast called Mind Matters. Mind Matters is the podcast of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery, and so is ID the Future and Michael Medved's Great Minds. They are all available on most any podcast app, and so we're very, very accessible. Or for the Mind Matters podcast, you can visit the website mindmatters.today. Now, that's new for me. It's not .com, it's not .org, but it's .today, mindmatters.today. So let's get to the topic on this edition of ID the Future. The Dependency Graph of Life is the title of a groundbreaking new paper by Dr. Winston Ewart. It's available at biocomplexity.org as an open access paper. And I might mention that biocomplexity, in order to get to the correct website, requires a hyphen between bio and complexity. So it's bio-complexity.org. Dr. Ewart's paper is a gut punch to the Darwinian model of evolution. He proposes an alternative model to Darwin's Tree of Life. Dr. Ewart's model is based on well-known practices of efficient use of computer code in software engineering. His work challenges Darwin's common descent tree and suggests a dependency graph as an alternative model. It's a highly original and fresh look at the theory of where we come from. Dr. Ewart has a number of impressive affiliations, including a senior researcher at Biologic. He's also a senior researcher at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab, and he's an associate fellow of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. I have a long history of collaboration with Dr. Ewart. Most recently, we co-authored the book Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics, along with William Dembski. There we showed that there exists no mathematical model describing undirected Darwinian evolution. That was another gut punch to Darwinian theory. But I think maybe Winston's results might be a harder gut punch. We'll see. Dr. Ewart's latest paper is something completely new. It's an intriguing new, potentially groundbreaking alternative to Darwin's hierarchical tree of life. The alternative is Dr. Ewart's dependency graph hypothesis. This, I predict, if understood and sufficiently read, is going to be a game changer. Winston, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me, what in a sentence is your paper about?
Well, my paper puts forward the dependency graph hypothesis, which is an alternative model to Darwin's tree of life to account for the apparent fit of life to a nested hierarchy.
Okay, we're going to need to unpack that a little bit. Let's start with the question. I think you used the word nested hierarchy. What is a nested hierarchy?
So a nested hierarchy is a system of groups within groups. There are many examples in our everyday life. So if you think Earth is divided into various countries, and those countries, they're divided into states or provinces, and those states can be further divided into cities, counties, or townships. So each level of classification fits into an upper level classification, and it's furthermore divided into lower and lower levels of classification. Another example would be a university. So Baylor University, where I studied with you, is divided into various schools. We were in the School of Engineering and Computer Science. There's also a School of Business, a School of Arts and Sciences, etc. And each of those schools would actually further be divided into departments like electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, and computer science. Or yet another example would be genres of books. You could, you know, divide all the books in the world into fiction and nonfiction books. And you could divide fiction books into categories or genres like science fiction, romance, or mystery. And nonfiction books, you could have categories like theology, science, or philosophy. And you could divide each of those further into various subcategories. And so that's what we call a nested hierarchy.
So this sounds immediately like a tree structure, right? You get one branch, and it branches off into a bunch of others, and each of those branches off into something else. So does life fit into one of these types of hierarchical classifications?
biologists certainly classify life according to hierarchy. Life is, at the most fundamental level, is divided into two types: eukaryotes, which includes complex multicellular life like us, and prokaryotes, which includes bacteria. But the eukaryotes can be further divided into things like plants, animals, and fungi. Each of those are called a kingdom. And, you know, if you look at animals, they are further divided into classes like mammals, reptiles, and birds. And those can be further divided into further groups. So certainly we classify life into this hierarchical classification, just as these other examples I've shown.
So what is the relationship between the Darwinian tree of life and hierarchical classification?
The tree of life is the evolutionary interpretation or explanation of the hierarchical classification. It's their reason for why life fits a hierarchical classification. The idea is that each group in the classification corresponds to some ancestral species and all their descendants. Each group is divided into smaller subgroups because the original species split into a variety of species. So, for example, take animals. So the evolutionary interpretation is that all animals today descend from some original species of animals in the distant past. And that species has since become the common ancestor of all animals. And the reason that all animals share various similarities is because those similarities were actually present in that original ancestral species, and they've simply inherited it. Likewise with plants. All plants are ultimately descendants of the original plant species, and all mammals, they descend from the original species of mammals, and all birds descend from the original species of birds. And the case would be that, you know, all mammals are animals because that first mammal species was a descendant of the first animal species, and that gives us sort of this groups within groups idea, which is the evolutionary explanation of why life seems to fit a nested hierarchy.
Okay. You know, somebody pointed out to me, I'm not a biologist, but Darwin's original book was entitled Origin of the Species, not Origins. So this hierarchy actually goes back to a single root, if you will, which was the appearance of first life on Earth, which is, I don't know, kind of interesting for an engineer like me. How important is this Darwinian tree of life interpretation that you're talking about?
For many, it is the crucial argument in favor of the evolutionary account of life. They argue that only a branching evolutionary process can explain how well life fits a hierarchy. And this is going back to Darwin. He argued that no other explanation for why life naturally fit a hierarchy has been attempted. And since it's the only known explanation, we should conclude, you know, it's almost certainly the correct one. And for many, that is the fundamental crucial argument that shows that the Darwinian interpretation must be correct.
Okay, but you give several examples of hierarchies that humans designed. Clearly, a branching tree-like process isn't the only explanation. I think that's a point you make in your paper.
So the argument is when humans create hierarchy, they're arbitrary classifications placed on things which aren't really hierarchical in nature. So Earth's divided into countries, provinces, and cities, but those lines are pretty much arbitrary. And, you know, at Baylor, computer science was part of the School of Engineering and Computer Science, but in my undergraduate, it was not in that school. It was part of the mathematical sciences along with physics and math. And you can classify books by genre, but you could classify them also, say, by length or by target reading age, etc. So there are certainly things, hierarchies humans design, but the argument would be made that these are arbitrary hierarchies and they're not actually a true feature of the data being explained.
Okay, so given this, what does your new paper show?
So my new paper puts forward a new common design model for the pattern of similarities and differences in life. It's an alternative to the common descent or tree of life model for why life fits the hierarchical classification as well as it does.
Okay, what do you mean by common design and common descent? Those are some terms that you've used.
So there are a lot of similarities between different living things, right? We have similarities all the way down from our cellular processes to our anatomical structures. These are called homologies, and they're an important aspect of life. In any theory of life, it has to be able to give an account for why these homologies exist. Common descent is the evolutionary explanation. It claims that different living things are similar because they share a common ancestor. Humans and chimps share similarities because if you trace our lineage back far enough, you'll come to a common ancestor. We also share similarities with mice because if you trace our ancestry even further back, we share a common ancestor with them.
Wait, you mean according to this theory, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a mouse?
Not exactly. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is also the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of the mouse in your cupboard.
I see. Okay, good. I'm glad my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is not a mouse. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So common design has been put forward by some on the intelligent design side of things as an alternative. And it argues that life shares a common designer. It was designed by a single designer. And thus similarities are not due to living things coming from a common ancestor, but instead because they have a common designer. And the common designer, being a single designer, he's going to design different things in a similar fashion. And so it tries to attribute similarity not to a naturalistic process like common descent, but to design. And we observe that designers frequently reuse successful designs in different places. So it's really not surprising that we find similarities between different living things on a design framework.
So what is the relationship between intelligent design and common design?
So some proponents of intelligent design, such as, say, Michael Behe or Michael Denton, hold to common descent and not common design. And I assume the fact that they're both named Michael is some form of convergent evolution.
Yes, I think so. Okay.
They still hold to design, so they think life is designed, and a common designer as well, but they think similarities between living things are best explained by common descent. So they hold to some sort of hybrid of intelligent design and common descent. It would obviously not make sense to think common design was true, but think intelligent design was false. But you absolutely can think, okay, intelligent design is true, but common descent is true, and not sort of an idea of common design.
You know, thinking as electrical and computer engineering, I certainly can attest to reusing designs. If I build a machine, I buy component parts that have been designed by others. And I think Lexus and Toyota are both manufactured by the Toyota Motor Company. And although they're distinct, the automakers share quite a few design components in both their Lexus and their Toyota automobiles. So I see the sharing of components quite a bit in engineering. It seems to me common design is at least as good an explanation as common descent to explain such similarities, right?
So common design easily explains similarity per se just as well as common descent. However, what's less clear is whether it explains the pattern of similarities and differences. And what I'm really doing in my paper is seeking to explain the pattern, not necessarily similarity per se, but why this particular pattern of similarities.
So what is the pattern of similarities and differences in life according to evolutionary common descent?
The Darwinian story is that life was produced by Darwin's tree of life, and that the pattern we observe derives from this. So a long time ago, there was just one kind of thing, a living thing on Earth, and it ended up getting split into three different types. And each one of these types become the ancestor of the three domains of life, eukaryotes, bacteria, and archaea. Eventually, eukaryotes split into what would become the ancestors of eukaryotic kingdoms, plants, animal, and fungi. And the animals would eventually split into ancestral groups of classes like birds, mammals, and reptiles. And these groups just split over and over again until eventually you reach the present day, and each group corresponds to a modern-day species. We call this process the tree of life by analogy with tree branches. You know, a branch starts out as a single branch, but as it grows from the trunk, it can repeatedly split into smaller and smaller branches. And the pattern is also sometimes referred to as a nested hierarchy.
Okay. Is this an accurate representation of the pattern of similarities and differences that we see?
Somewhat. So mammals, for example, share a lot of similarities with other mammals that other species don't have. And that makes sense if all those similarities are inherited from the common ancestor of all mammals. Likewise for birds, reptiles, or pretty much any group you might choose. However, there's also similarities that don't really fit. So, for example, you have echolocation, where species will detect where other things are by sound waves. And bats and dolphins have this, but their common ancestor would not have had this feature. And so this similarity, despite the fact of being a similarity, can't have come from a common ancestor. And so while some things do fit the hierarchy relatively well, there are other things which don't fit nearly as well.
Okay, how does a Darwinian tree of life deal with these exceptions that you're talking about? They have to fold it in some way.
Right. The modern account of common descent includes a lot of mechanisms to account for this, such as convergent evolution, incomplete lineage sorting, horizontal gene transfer, etc. Effectively, what they've done is they take the basic tree-like nature of basic evolutionary theory and they add a variety of untree-like mechanisms in order to be able to account for the data that's not really fitting the tree.
Okay, if they can account for tree-like data using common descent and untree-like data using these other mechanisms, doesn't that make the account unfalsifiable?
So it's certainly true. Any data can be made to fit the tree, and particularly if you add these mechanisms, you can easily make anything fit a tree. Now, in practice, the way the argument is made is that no other mechanism exists to explain the tree-like or hierarchical pattern. So if there's any data that fits the hierarchical pattern, even if it's very weak, they argue that only Darwin's tree of life is able to explain that because there's no other known explanation. So they would argue, I think, that their account is falsifiable, but you'd basically, in order to falsify it, have to show the data doesn't fit a tree at all, and then it would be falsified. Given that there's a resemblance, however weak, to a tree, they would say, you know, their theory remains unfalsified.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, Winston. I think what I'd like to do is to carry over this into a second podcast. Your paper looks awesome. We've been talking about Dr. Ewart's paper, The Dependency Graph of Life, and it can be viewed online at bio-complexity.org. So I'm your guest host, Robert J. Marks, for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.